That was a segment of a show we broadcast this past August, produced by Reese Ehrlich. So what's happened since then, both in post-revolutionary Egypt and the rest of the Arab world? The Arab Spring has certainly lasted long beyond springtime. Joining us now for an update is Shaima Helmi. She's an Egyptian human rights activist who participated in the January 25th uprising. Welcome to Making Contact.
Well, thank you.
So first of all, where do things stand in Egypt as we're going into 2012 regarding elections, political freedom, and one thing which is always a recurring theme there, the end of military rule?
I think things are getting pretty worse in Egypt since the Supreme Council of Armed Forces took over after Mubarak resigned. They were appointed by Mubarak himself, so it's pretty obvious that they are just an extension to Mubarak's regime. So the fact that Egypt is a military dictatorship since 1950s hasn't changed it. And the ugly face of the Supreme Council of Armed Forces has shown pretty clear recently in all the clashes that happened in Tahrir Square and other cities where people occupied Tahrir Square and in Alexandria and Mansoura and Qana and Tanta and everywhere across the country. There were occupations and the army and security forces used excessive amount of violence against peaceful campers and protesters. So I think that the Supreme Council of Armed Forces doesn't have any intention to hand over power to civilians. They are controlling 40% of the business in the country. They have power, they have weapons, they have the support of the U.S. government. So it's pretty obvious that they are not leaving anytime soon.
You've spent some time in the last few months traveling the world and speaking about your experiences, and particularly the role of women in the Egyptian Revolution. I'm wondering, how are women's place in Egyptian society changing, or are they changing?
I don't really think that anything has changed about the way the Egyptian society considers women, unfortunately. Speaking about Egypt in a post-revolutionary stage I think this is not really the time to speak about any changes, because I don't think that in such a short period of time we will be able to change the perception of women and the perception of the entire society to women in Egypt. It will take us longer than this. In the recent clashes, the army soldiers have been attacking women and targeting them. And there were a lot of graphic pictures and videos of soldiers assaulting women and targeting them specifically. I still hear comments from people there in Egypt saying that, why are you even going down to protest if you are a woman? If we still have this kind of perception, if we still have this kind of mentality, I think that we need so long. We will have to fight a lot to change all of these ideas and preconceived ideas in the mentality of Egyptian people about women. But it's been obvious that women were fighting from the beginning. They were at the front lines alongside with fellow protesters, male protesters, and they showed a lot of courageousness and bravery in fighting for their cause.
Egypt has long been considered kind of the capital of the Arab world, and I know people in many other countries have been watching and are watching to see how things progress there. When we look at events in Libya and Syria and Yemen and elsewhere, what do you think the lessons are from the past year in Egypt? Do you think people are collectively learning and changing their strategies for what they do after a dictator falls?
I think that the most important reason that people would learn from what happened in Egypt is the power of the individual and how much every one of us can change in their own society and their own environment. The fact that ordinary people who have never been politically active before, who have never been in a protest before, were able to come together and join each other and fight for one cause and show all of this bravery and strength and persistence was pretty amazing to me personally. Another lesson that people would learn from the Egyptian uprising is there's no such a thing as an 18 days successful uprising that would help you get rid of a completely corrupted system. I think that the revolution in Egypt and the struggle has started when Mubarak resigned. The military dictatorship was represented by Mubarak. He was only the face, but he is not the system. And the system is not just about one person. It's about corrupted institutions that are in control of everything. The 1% that are controlling everything in Egypt are just like the 1% in the US and the 1% in all European countries and other countries around the world.
How would you rate President Obama and the U.S. on how they've handled the drastic changes in Egypt and also in the rest of the Arab world?
I think that supporting Mubarak's system for 30 years was more than enough to show how the U.S. rule looks like in Egypt. Why did they wait until the people started complaining about how bad it is in Egypt? And I personally think that Egypt is only looked upon within its context in the Middle East, regardless of the violation of human rights or the lack of democracy. For the U.S., it has always been about maintaining stability in the region and keeping peace with Israel, and anything else would be fine. The fact that we receive all this money from the U.S., the fact that Egypt is the second largest recipient of foreign aid after Israel, with $2 billion annually going to Egypt and $1.3 billion goes to the military in Egypt, raises a lot of questions about the role of the U.S. government in Egypt. Why didn't they speak up against all the violations of the army since the beginning of the uprising, since January 28th? I think that the U.S. government has an interest in keeping Egypt busy with its own internal issues. And I remember a lot of authors and writers and political analysts speaking about the fact that the U.S. government would never want to see an independent, democratic Egypt in the region. Mubarak was the U.S. best friend and ally in the region for 30 years, and they had mutual interests in, like, militaries and you could say, weapons deals and all this kind of stuff. So, obviously, the U.S. would rather support a military dictatorship than having a system that might be completely unpredictable, that might be the Muslim Brotherhood or a completely different voice, just like people like me who have never been politically active and started to be part of, you could say, the political decision-making process in Egypt. When I see how the activists and Occupy movement say that we were inspired by Tahrir and we were inspired by the Egyptian uprising, and then I look at how the U.S. government keeps supporting the military regime with weapons, live ammunition, army vehicles, tear gas. All of these weapons are made in the U.S., and this is something that we can deal with on our own back there in Egypt. I think that the American public should be aware of this. They should be aware of where the money goes to. Instead of using your money here in the U.S. on, like, reforming healthcare system or housing or creating jobs, all of this money goes from here, from your country, to the Egyptian military that's oppressing people. So I think this is something that should be reconsidered.
Egyptian human rights activist Shaima Helmi, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Well, thank you so much.